It has been told that when Mem surrendered his hidden dwelling on Amon-Ruth to Turin and his company, he demanded that he who had loosed the arrow but slew his son should break his bow and his arrows and lay them at the feet of Chim. And that man was Undrog. Then with great ill will, Undrog did as Mem bade. Moreover, Mem declared that Undrog must never again bear bow and arrow, and he laid a curse on him, that if nevertheless he should do so, then would he meet his own death by that means. Now in the spring of that year, Undrog defied the curse of Mem, and took up a bow again in a foray from Barin Dunwith. And in that foray he was struck by a poisoned orc arrow, and was brought back dying in pain. But Beleg healed him of his wound, and now the hatred that Mem bore to Beleg was increased still more, for he had thus undone his curse. "But it will bite again," he said. In that year, far and wide in Beleriand, the whisper went under wood and over stream and through the passes of the hills, saying that the bow and helm that had fallen in Dimbar, as was thought, had arisen again beyond hope. Then many, both elves and men, who went leaderless, dispossessed but undaunted, remnants of battle and defeat and lands laid waste, took heart again, and came to seek the two captains, though where they had their stronghold none yet knew. Turin received gladly all who came to him, but by the counsel of Beleg he admitted no newcomer to his refuge upon Amon-Ruth, and that was now named Echad Isedrin, Camp of the Faithful. The way thither only those of the old company knew, and no others were admitted. But other guarded camps and forts were established round about, in the forest eastward, or in the highlands, or in the southward fens, from Methed Englad, the end of the wood, south of the crossings of Teglin to Bar Erib, some leagues south of Aman Rudh, in the once fertile land between Narog and the Mirs of Sirion. From all these places men could see the summit of Amon-Ruth, and by signals receive tidings and commands. In this way, before the summer had passed, the following of Turin had swelled to a great force, and the power of Angband was thrown back. Word of this came even to Nargothrond, and many there grew restless, saying that if an outlaw could do such hurt to the enemy, what might not the lord of Narog do? But Orodreth, king of Nargothrond, would not change his counsels. In all things he followed Thingol, with whom he exchanged messengers by secret ways. And he was a wise lord, according to the wisdom of those who considered first their own people, and how long they might preserve their life and wealth against the lust of the north. Therefore he allowed none of his people to go to Turin, and he sent messengers to say to him that in all that he might do or devise in his war, he should not set foot in the land of Nargothrond, nor drive orcs thither. But help other than in arms he offered to the two captains, should they have need, and in this it is thought he was moved by Thingol and Melian.